brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
It's big to be back and try to just be a positive role model and just have an impact on kids in the community.
I wanted to honor the 95 team, the 97 team, the guys that came before me that left a legacy.
This is going to be a heavyweight battle. Keep an eye on this game.
I'm just going to watch from home on GPB.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. Time to tour the state and let you know what's going on when it comes to high school football. We're going to catch up with one of the coaches that is geared up, ready for us for Football Fridays, North Gwinnett and Parkview. We're going to catch up with another coach who had a fantastic upset in AA this past week. But since we are officially in a no-dilly, no-dally zone, it is time to head to the Big Orange Jungle and catch up with someone who I have covered since he was a student at Parkview High School, the head coach of the Panthers, Joey Sturdivant. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us here on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
All right, so let me go back to the irresistible thought. You've coached here in the state of Georgia at a couple of different places. You and I last caught up when you were at Raven Gap Nacoochee, and you were up there in the mountains going up against a North Carolina schedule and handling recruits from all around the planet. You coached at Providence Christian. You coached overseas, and now you're back home at Parkview. What was it like to get that phone call or to make the interest known that you were interested in coming home to coach?
Well, you know, I loved it at Providence, and I love the guys over there. And so, you know, when I heard that Coach Godfrey left, of course, everybody came to me and said, you know, have you heard anything from those guys? I was like, not yet. And I didn't really put my name in that ring because I had a job, right? And I was trying to be respectful to the group I was with. But, you know, Coach Gass, the athletic director here, called me. He's like, you know, your name keeps popping up, but I don't have your resume yet. Why? And I explained, hey, I figured this was the right spot that you would reach out to me. And then from there, we would go down this road. That call is definitely surreal. I mean, I think one of his first words were, let me make your life a little bit crazier right now. I just moved back into Lilburn. I just left Raven Gap, a place I really loved coaching at, come back to what I call home. And then, you know, to have Parkview call, it was a dream come true. Honestly, when I was in high school, I had a feeling one day I was going to be the Parkview head football coach, and I was making plans for that. But after a course of 20 years and have to go around the world, down to Florida, over to Europe for a couple different stints, I didn't, you know, that dream started to slowly fade. I didn't know if it was really going to be real. I didn't think, you know, Eric was, thought it, you know, he's going to be here a while. So when that phone call happened, it was very surreal. And there's definitely a lot of emotions that that come up when you think about what would have gone through as a player here and what my family went through, and, you know, my whole family's, you know, Parkview Panthers. So it's pretty special for me.
How much has your phone rung off the hook, considering now that you're there and it's like you're trying to focus on either Kel or Shiloh or North Gwinnett in this particular case on a weekly basis? How much does your phone ring off the hook? It's like, hey, man, what's going on? What's it like to be? How many folks are banging on your door like me asking you back in the Parkview area about what's going on? It's like, I'm trying to coach here. I got a job.
It is part of it, and part of what you expect when you sign up to be a head football coach. You know, there's a lot of, you know, how's it going? And I've got a lot of support from past players. And that's what, you know, one of the mantras here has been restore the roar. Mm-hmm. And that is about getting all the history back and the guys that played for us back in the support and on the sidelines. Man, it was awesome against Shiloh. We had Blake Longnecker, who named the title of our defense that, you know, Parkview defenses have had forever. And I got to allow him to talk to the team for a second, or at least hear the pregame speech. And, you know, to get the former players back and their support is huge for me because that was what I always played for. I wanted to honor the 95 team, the 97 team, the guys that came before me that left a legacy. And I want this group of kids to do that for them. You know, it's a special time. It's a special place. We want to honor the tradition and the history. And that's kind of what it's been about. And it's been pretty awesome to get those phone calls from from previous players. And then let them know and make phone calls to them. Let them know that, hey, we are thinking about you and what you've done for this place. And we want to make sure that, you know, the roar of Parkview in the history is right back on track. And then, of course, I get, you know, every now and then get a Facebook message or, you know, got North Gwinnett coming to town. What are you guys doing to prepare for them? All that type of stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm doing my job. I'm ready to take care of business. And that's kind of what the mindset's been.
And one other part of that roar that you have been a part of is Cecil Flo, a very, very special man, a legend here in the state of Georgia when it comes to high school coaches. When I mention Cecil Flo, what comes to mind for you?
That's probably one of the best coach. You know, I've been around the world. I've coached, I've been lucky enough to play for, five or six Hall of Fame football coaches, right? Whether college Hall of Fame, junior college, or high school. He's one of the best coaches I've ever been around. But, you know, just I am hopefully doing a great job representing him of what Parkview football is and the expectations of a football coach. And I'd like to be an extension of what he brought forward and the attitude, the 1-0 mentality, the everyday approach to football and to practice. To me, what I took from Coach Flo is the attitude. Like, this is the way to be. And this, there ain't no other way. There's a right way and a wrong way to football. And I believe there's 1% of football coaches that do it right. I'm lucky to be coached by those guys and have been around those guys. And I think Coach Flo is one of that 1% that truly gets the game and what is expected of your coaching staff, your players. And I tell you what, it's a lonely, I kind of feel for him. It's a lonely place at the top when you're trying to do things to that standard. But, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is he's one of the best. You know, he's a champion.
Joey Sturdivant, the head coach of the Parkview Panthers, hanging out with us as he's getting ready for North Gwinnett and Parkview here on Football Fridays in Georgia on GPB. 7:30, 7:35-ish kick, I'll tell you right now. So plot for 7:35 kick when it comes to this matchup. You're going up against Eric at North Gwinnett. How, I don't want to use the word odd, but what is it like with Eric Godfrey, the head coach now at North Gwinnett, who has the history there as well? What's it like going up against someone like Eric on that opposite sideline coming up this Friday night?
You know, I played for Eric, so he's my offensive coordinator. And, you know, I grew up, you know, my 3 years as a varsity player, he was on the sideline. Then my senior year, he was also the offensive coordinator. So special relationship, and I've kept in touch with him over the years. He's been the head coach here. So, you know, we talked about we're going to punt on first down, just back and forth to each other. but, you know, on the other hand, you know, I know he's a great football coach, right? So we're trying to, you know, moves and counter moves. We know what he understands about us, what we understand about him. So we got to make sure, like, hey, these are the things I believe he's going to be thinking of, because we come from the same coaching tree. So it should be really interesting to see the counter moves that are being put into place from what we know on each other. And then of course our kids are going to be fired up to get after his guys. And I'm sure his players are going to be fired up to, you know, bring their coach back. So it should be a really interesting matchup. But of course, when the first whistle blows, all that goes out the door. It's another color jersey. We're trying to win.
No doubt about it. We're looking forward to it here on GPB. Joey Sturdivant, the head coach of the Parkview Panthers, getting ready for Football Fridays in Georgia here on GPB. North Gwinnett, Parkview, Friday night on GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app, all the different social medias. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us. And move your hands, and maybe the lights will come back on there.
I got to stand up to move over there. Sorry about that.
No worries. It's all good. It's all about automation these days. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We'll catch up with you during the week, and we'll see you Friday night.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Always great to catch up with the Parkview legacy, Joey Sturdivant, and looking forward to Football Fridays. And North Gwinnett and Parkview coming up 7:30, kick off a little after 7:30, about 7:35, and we'll have that for you. GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app, all the GPB social media channels, so you can have it as a multi-screen experience when it comes to Football Fridays. By the way, the web game, 8 o'clock start. Reminder, GPB.org/sports, the web game, Sandy Creek and East Coweta, 8 o'clock start on the web. So your multi-screen experience can technically start slightly after 8 o'clock with North Gwinnett and Parkview, and with Sandy Creek and East Coweta. Let's go through the games of note from last week and set up our second interviewee this week, because that was a big game in AA. And then after that, and our second guest, we'll go through the week that will be, and we'll get you squared away for everything that you need to know when it comes to the rankings and the polls and the games and all that kind of stuff. Because remember, games are Thursday. There's a game that actually counts from last week that got pushed to Thursday. Wayne and Appling. That's on Thursday as well. It's supposed to be last week. Two ranked teams going at it. And they'll be going at it on Thursday. So, week that was, Buford was trailing North Cobb early. They ended up getting the win there 45-28. So they continue to roll. Colquitt rolls as well with a 40-2 win over Tift. Mill Creek and Archer, if you don't know the story between these two programs, there are coaches that have all grown up together and all attended the University of West Georgia, and they've been on the same staffs, and they split off and been on one school or the other or both. There might be some wagers having to do some yard work with what happened after Mill Creek beat Archer by the final of 42-7. Carrollton beat Rome 33-13. Juju Lewis 17-24 for 179-4. 3 in the first 14 minutes of action against Rome. John Reed will definitely take that tape and learn from it as the Wolves continue to go here this season. On GPB Westlake and Cedar Grove, I would recommend taking 3 hours of your time. Watch this game. Fantastic game, Westlake and Cedar Grove. Westlake wins at 46-41. They have to hold off Cedar Grove inside the 10-yard line for the last play of the game. So it was that much. It was that much of an exciting game. Go back and watch it. The highlights are all over the place on all the GPB socials. But a big win for Westlake. They're now 3-0 in 7A. Big shocker in 6A. Langston Hughes loses to Butler of North Carolina, 30-27. Aaron Nolan threw for 196 yards and 2, but he also had 3 interceptions, one of those in the final minutes as Hughes was down 30-14. They came back to 30-27. Lose, don't drop too much in the GPB polls, because for me it was a team that was out of state. Other highlights, Roswell put 51 on Marietta. Thomas County Central beat Bainbridge 45-14. Marist in a tight one beat Savannah Christian. Savannah Christian travels to Atlanta in Hugh Spalding Stadium, 7-7 at one point. Marist goes on to win that one 21-7. Northside Warner Robins and Warner Robins. That was our web game last week. Another great game, 39-35. Warner Robins, Judd Anderson comes in and starts in the second quarter for Warner Robins. He leads them to the comeback and the win 39-35 over Northside. In 5A, Creekside goes to Modern Day, the top-ranked team in the country in some circles, loses 62-0. They were down 48-0 early on, and it was Modern Day reinforcing why they are the top-ranked team in the country. Hiram beat East Paulding. Matt, very, very high on East Paulding, 52-49. Scored on a kickoff return with less than a minute to go. So Hiram is now 3-0. Quad A, Benedictine beat Westminster 27-14. Troop over Callaway 21-13. Perry put up 54 on Jones, winning that one 54-21. Also, other games of note, Thomasville and Cairo. Big rivalry there. Cairo wins 24-3. 500th game for the play-by-play voice of the Cairo Syrup Makers, and you can catch that on Twitter. Nice still photo of the broadcast crew there. 500 games called by the voice of the Syrup Makers. Very, very cool stuff there. Northeast and Fitzgerald, will catch up with one of those coaches coming up in just a little bit. Northeast beat Fitzgerald on the road 27-20. Nick Woodford rushes for 226-2 and threw a touchdown pass to knock off the Purple Hurricane. Dublin beat Lamar 33-28. Sly in Class A D2 beat Early County by the final of 30-0. Macon County, now 3-0 after going 0-3 to start last season, beat Dooley 36-30. Bowden beat Bremen 42-16 in another border war up in Northwest Georgia. Clinch over Miller by the score of 28-0, and that takes you through all of the ranked teams heading into last weekend and all the games of note. Time to catch up now with our second coach this week here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. And for this, we go to Middle Georgia and one of the big upsets of the week, where Northeast beats Fitzgerald in Ben Hill County. Time to catch up with Jeremy Wiggins, the head coach of Northeast. So, Coach Wiggins, first off, congratulations on knocking off a number one team for the first time in program history. Has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, with all the texts and congratulations, it didn't sunk in a whole lot. So, but that's just a testimony to the boys just working hard and, you know, playing a great football game Friday night.
What's it like going into that kind of an environment? Because, I mean, that is, Fitzgerald, traditionally a very tough team there in AA, with what you've been building over the last handful of years there in AA, what was it like going into that environment?
Well, it's a tough environment, and, you know, Fitzgerald always creates problems every year, and they are a solid traditional football powerhouse, especially in AA and in South Georgia. So it's been, it was a, you know, we kind of went into the game with a different mindset of just being disciplined, trying to be focused a lot and just playing our game and just getting our players the ball. And we came out victorious. And but always going down there is a tough place to play. We've been down there in the last 4 years, at least three out of the last 4 years, and they got the best out of us.
One of the guys I know that maybe a lot of folks outside of Middle Georgia, maybe south of the Nat line, may not be able to know a lot about is your running back, Nick Woodford. Ran for 226-2, threw a touchdown pass. Now, who encouraged him on the touchdown pass? Did he encourage the OC on the touchdown, on the idea of throwing a touchdown pass, or did he get the encouragement? What was that play call?
It was just some, you know, Nick can throw the ball. Nick can throw and run, and we got some packages where he's going to throw the ball this year. And we was like, hey, let's go ahead and throw it up and give our wide receiver a chance. And he threw a good ball for him. So it's been in the works for the last 2 years. We didn't throw it one with last year, but we've been practicing the last 2 years, so it just came up. So.
Who is looking at him right now when it comes to the next level, and what else do you think he needs to work on to continue to be the back he can be at the next level, you think?
Well, I know he's got an offer from West Virginia and Georgia Southern, I know for sure. He's been in, and he's had a lot of schools come by, like South Carolina, Florida, University of South Florida. Who's been Cincinnati, that's all been looking at him. I think one thing they just need to try to improve on, which everybody wants to improve on, is just speed, you know, and just being able to maintain his weight and maintain the speed at the same time.
Sixth season for you there at Northeast. Started out with a couple of seasons in and around 500, but then it's been 8 wins, 9 wins, 8 wins leading into this year. What's it been like for you to build this program, which I know means a lot to you, and we'll get into that in just a bit, but what's it been like to see the build of this program to where you're in the playoffs, you're making noise, you're chasing after region titles? What's it been like for you?
It's just been a grind over the years, just each year getting the right resources to make us better, getting the right coaches to fit the coaching style. That we want to put on the field, and just, you know, keeping our players from the middle school keep coming to Northeast. And I work a lot with the middle school each summer during the springtime, just teaching those guys our system at a young age. So when they get to high school, they kind of already know what's going on, and they have an upper hand on just coming to the high school. But just building it each year, and I kind of took the model that when I was at App State, we won the 2 national championships back-to-back when I was there, and kind of like just putting it in play right now. So that's been one of the biggest thing, and I always tell the boys on how we started, how we had to change our culture at App State to start that winning tradition now. So like if you look at App State now, you'll kind of see like what we started back then. It's kind of like just carried over to now what they are now. So hopefully trying to do the same thing is, you know, try to start winning some championships and, you know, being, you know, continue to be consistent and successful.
So what's it been like for you to be back home and coaching there? Because, I mean, not a lot of folks know that you're a legacy and you know what it means there in the Macon area and in Central Georgia. Mm-hmm. But what's it like for you to be back home coaching there at Northeast?
It's great being back and being able to give back to the community that gave me an opportunity to play football and go to school here. But it's been great to be back and just try to build this program up and try to give these kids an opportunity to do the things that I had a chance to do when I was older, get a chance to go out to college and play football and come back and serve your community. But it's big to be back and try to just be a positive role model and just have an impact on kids in the community.
You mentioned Nick, and we talked about Nick. What we like to do here at GPB sometimes is we have the Make That Kid an Offer category, where for whatever reason, there is a student athlete that is too whatever, too, you know, air quotes, too small, too slow, too whatever. Is there anybody there at Northeast that you would sit there and go, they need to get a better look than what they're getting, or they need to just get a look because of what they can do at the next level? Who do you think would fit Make That Kid an Offer there at the East?
I would have to say I got some linemen. I got a lineman that's 6'7", 300. Ooh. He can get some good looks.
I got a wide receiver.
Malachi Hancock.
Okay.
And just his size alone, you know, should be able to get him some looks for the next level. Because you can't teach size. That's one thing you can't teach is size.
No, sir.
But got some other kids, some mid-major kids like Ja'Cory Riggins, who's a senior. He's been playing a long time, like some lower-level D1, lower-level school, Division II schools, to make sure they can look at him. Kayvon Conciero, he's going to be a big-time player. He's a wide receiver. He's like 6'4". Rente Curry, he's a 5'11 safety. I got a ton of players. I can go on and on who can get some looks. So, but we got a lot of guys that, you know, need to get an opportunity to get looked at for the next level.
And you'll get the next chance to do that with a game against Carver-Columbus. Right now, you're 1-1 going into this game Friday against Carver-Columbus. What has study hall been like getting ready for that one this weekend?
It's been the same focus, just like Fitzgerald. You know, Carver-Columbus is a very talented team, and they kind of similar to us. A bunch of athletes, good linemen, good coaching staff. So we just want to go down there, you know, and compete against them too. When I made the schedule 2 years ago, I didn't realize that Fitzgerald had played for the state championship, and then Carver played for the state championships. And I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing.
You got to talk to that schedule maker, Coach.
Yeah, they need to blame him. but you know, I kind of figured, like, we'll get some good competition and play against them. So that was the idea of scheduling them.
No doubt about it. Northeast right now in the middle of the pack in Class AA after a big win against Fitzgerald 27-20. Carver-Columbus this weekend. Jeremy Wiggins, the head coach at the East. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Good luck this week. We'll keep an eye on you this year.
All right. I appreciate it.
Great as always to catch up with Coach Sturdivant and Coach Wiggins at Parkview and at Northeast. Once again, two big games for both of these guys. One of those on the air with us here at Georgia Public Broadcasting in North Gwinnett and Parkview, 7:30 Friday night, Football Fridays in Georgia, GPB, GPB TV, the GPB Sports app. That is our next game over the air. The web game reminder once again, it is Sandy Creek and East Coweta, 8 o'clock start, gpb.org/sports. So your multi-screen experience officially kicks in at 8 o'clock or shortly thereafter. And once again, keep an eye on Northeast this season. 1-1, they get Carver-Columbus, and that'll be a big game in Middle Georgia. Let's get into all of the other games that are going on of interest. All of the games are of interest, all 200-plus of them. They're all of interest. We love our children equally. I do. Here's just some of the highlights for the upcoming week. You've got Colquitt hosting Lee County. That's a big one, with a 7A number 2 going up against Lee County. You've got Milton at Roswell, 1-1 and 3-0. That one is on the board. Woodward Academy is at Marist, 1-1 and 2-1. Drifting into 5A, Ware County is at Benedictine. This is going to be a heavyweight battle. Keep an eye on this game if you can find a way to keep an eye on it. Ware County, 3-0. Benedictine, 3-0, one of the games of the week. Warner Robins is at Valdosta, 1-1 and 2-1. That one is also a good one to keep an eye on. Calhoun at 2-1 is at Cedartown, 1-2. That is a one up in Northwest Georgia. You've got Baldwin hosting Washington County in Milledgeville. That one will be a fun one. Cedar Grove, once again, they don't play a team inside their own classification, AAA, until region play. Continuing, they're out of a classification schedule this week. It is Cedar Grove hosting Collins Hill. Carver-Columbus Northeast, we mentioned about that one. drifting into a double A. You've got Cook at clinch, so Cook goes to Homerville and there. PAC is at Monroe Area. Battle of 2-3 and O teams. Keep an eye on that one. Bleckley County hosting Sly and Cochrane. 2-0 and 2-0 is there. And then also on the board are your games of choice across the board. Whichever game you want to go to, please support your local team, support your local schools, support high school athletics across the board. And we always say, if you're lost on a Friday night or a Saturday night or even a Thursday night here in the state of Georgia, and you see lights off in the distance, odds are that's a high school football game this time of year, and they can help you on your way. And maybe you should hang out and watch the end of the game before you end up on your way when it comes to all those lights in the distance. It is now time for Staff Whip Around, and we find out what happened last week with all of our folks. And as I was going through this, and Snake, you can hop on the mic here and help us out. You had the easy part. Because you, sir, had the off week in preparation for the game here on Football Fridays.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah. See, that's Jake the Snake. And Jake kind of lays back in the distance. He kind of makes sure all the ones and twos are punched correctly.
That's right.
But as a Parkview Panther, he is thoroughly excited and engaged in this matchup that is coming up. Aren't you, Jake?
That's right. Go Panthers.
Yeah. See how excited and engaged he is? He is truly and totally locked in for this matchup. And I don't know, Jake, as I'm sitting here and going through all of the games that happened last week, some of us had off weeks. You had an off week. I'm sitting here looking for Lassiter for Hannah, who will be back with us again next week. She's on assignment, and it's her best assignment. She's taking care of some sick kids in a house. And so Hannah will be back with us next week. She's making sure that they are all at 100%, as things should be. I don't see Lassiter having played, so Hannah doesn't have to sit here, Snake, and go that we're bypassing a game for some reason that a result didn't happen, unless I'm going too entirely quickly. Looks like Lassiter had the week off. Lakeside DeKalb, as I call it. 24-0 winner over Forest Park, so they got the win. Darlington over Christian Heritage, so Ambassador Jeremy got the win. Commander Sandy got a win, 27-12, as Decatur beat Southwest DeKalb. And I'm trying to scan through Central Macon, I think, also for King James had the week off. But Jake, you get the marquee game. You got a lot of pressure on your hands with North Gwinnett and Parkview, man.
That's true. Like I said, go Panthers. All I can do is hope for the best.
Yes, as you can tell, are you going to be there, by the way, or are you just going to watch from home?
I'm just going to watch from home on GPB.
See, now that's the kind of plug we're looking for. Fantastic stuff. Once again, GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app. Once again, thanks to Hannah. Obviously, Hannah will be back with us again next week. Thanks to Jake the Snake. Thanks to the Yellow Rose of Texas, who is taking photos this week. Autumn is in the back row taking care of things for Ambassador Jeremy and Commander Sandy. And King James is behind the monitors making sure that everything goes well with the ones and twos. Once again, thanks to our friends at Parkview and at Northeast for hanging out with us this week. And thanks to you for hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. For everybody here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, thanks for hanging out with us. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the games. We'll catch up with you again next week.
By the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.